Hello, I'm Farah, a registered clinical nutritionist, and I'm hosting Fertility Matters for Screen Me. Following my own 9-year infertility journey, I'm determined to help others with everything I know now and to share knowledge with women, men, and LGBTQ audiences to offer the best guidance from medical, holistic, complementary, and support organizations. I'll also be encouraging individuals to talk about their journeys to help others. I really want this to be real, useful, and engaging, a platform for you to contribute to. So if you have ideas, have something to say, or know somebody that does, reach out to me at f.condor@screenme.co.uk. Let's feel connected, feel part of a change, feel part of a huge support network. We are here to hold your hand through your own personal journeys, and we hope to see you happy at the other end. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, and welcome to Fertility Matters. Today, we're very, very lucky to have Nikki Akin, the MP, Member of Parliament for Cities of London and Westminster. Nikki's been a Member of Parliament for Cities in London for a long while, and she talks about women's rights around fertility and IVF at work. And she's fighting right at this very moment a big battle for women's voices to be heard through her parliamentary work. Her work on improving the IVF support in the workplace is crucial. It's really long overdue, and it's very, very important for those people who know what it's like to be in that position. Nikki's been really successful in getting the first reading of the Fertility Treatment Employment Rights Bill. The first reading was back in June 2022. So hook up and look up Nikki on her talking about that in Parliament. And the second reading was back on the 25th of November 2022. And at that point also is very interesting to hear what Nikki read out to Parliament and how it all went. So do go on those channels where you can get that information. So Nikki, sorry to blab on, but I think it's amazing stuff. Welcome to the show. We're very grateful that you've given your time, and we're very, very grateful that you give your energy and your knowledge to this subject, because there's a lot of women who need this kind of help. Firstly, could you just let me know a little bit about your background and what prompted you to start the whole thing, including the Fertilities Treatment Employment Rights Bill?
Thanks, and thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about my work in trying to get fertility treatment better recognised, both in employment but also in society. So I've been an MP for just over 3 years now. I was first elected in 2019, and I've been very interested, obviously, in women's health because I'm a woman, and I've gone through, you name it. I've been through it from, puberty and periods and miscarriage and 2 successful pregnancies, and then going through the delights of the menopause. And a constituent came to see me who had had a terrible time with her employer, a bank, who when she was going through fertility treatment, and she didn't want anybody else to go through what she had gone through. And when I looked into it with my team, it was fairly clear that, women going through fertility treatment, it's mainly women who do go through it, they don't get the support they need. They don't get the legal rights that they should have to take paid time off leave from work. So that's why I took up the campaign and tabled my private members bill, as you've just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Yeah.
really strange because you think when you're going through fertility treatment, we all know the man is little involved in the physiological side of it. If anything, they just put some, something in a cup, and that's about the extent of it. And if we're looking at, the requirements for a man to take time out versus a woman, and even if the couple is in the same organization, the man's not going to need half as much time or effort to actually, undergo IVF, and yet it's a couple trying to conceive. So the kind of, imbalance between the support that the man gets are having to take time off or whatever to go for an appointment, but the worst situation, which the woman has to go and do far more invasive and far more emotionally distressing and far more time consuming things, and they're not being supported at all. So initially, then, was the bill formulated on the basis that your constituent came to you? Is that when the idea was born?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what, a lot of MPs You know, we have our own views on things. We have our own passions that we want to, laws we want changed. But also, we have constituents who come to us or organisations to suggest ideas for law changes. And this was one of them. And it's
Yes.
interesting what you're saying about, you know, the difference between men and women undergoing fertility treatment. 60% of the reason why couples are going through fertility treatment when it's a heterosexual couple is because of issues with the male.
Yes.
But it's the woman who has to take the brunt of it.
Yes. I mean, we're talking about something like one in seven couples at the moment struggle with fertility, or one in eight couples, I think, struggle with fertility, which is quite a high percentage when you look at it just generally. But also, around 60% of that is actually a male issue,
Down to men.
which means that the woman, if she were with another man, will be able to get pregnant quite easily. It's actually the man's, physiological problem. And yet the pain of the actual physiological going through that process is the woman's rather than the man's, because essentially it's still her that has to go through all that time taking off work and, having things prodded and poked at. So it is very interesting. And clearly, where you've got male-dominated environments and still male-dominated companies, which obviously we all know that's still the case in a lot of the workplaces. Perhaps there isn't that empathy or understanding for the fact that, you're a father, or you want to be a father, but it's actually your wife, your partner, your person that you love that's actually going through that process. And even if you talk LGBTQ communities, if you've got same-sex parents, whether they're two men or two women or whatever, it's still the same process, because you'll have a donor and you'll have all of those sorts of things. So kind of having this for women as a starting point allows the doors to open for all LGBT community, TQ communities, to actually say, well, this is something that, is actually a wider spectrum thing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. But I think part of the, you know, and it's not just about people working in offices and white collar jobs. I had a lady who wrote to me recently who worked in a factory up in Lancashire who was going through IVF and was trying to explain to her line manager, her supervisor, that, you know, what she was going through and why she might need some time off or she might need to do different things in the warehouse. And he couldn't understand why she couldn't lift boxes up because she wasn't pregnant.
Yeah.
So part of my objective has been not just to change the law and give people employment rights to take paid time off work to undergo treatment, but to also break down that societal ignorance, if you like. And you know a lot of the it's always behind you know behind a curtain. It's always you know it's always secretive. And obviously, it is a personal thing to go through.
Yes.
And if people want to keep it secret and not tell family and friends or work colleagues, that's absolutely fine. But more and more people want to share, and they feel that if they do share, they'll have better support. And again, so part of the campaign is to break down the barriers.
Yeah, I
To
think
fertility
sharing.
treatment.
Yeah. So I agree with you entirely. I think sharing actually halves the burden of it, because, it's the keeping the secret of it. Yes, initially you might not want to share it with people because, you and then there has been a sense of shame or a sense of, all sorts of other feelings that you can feel during that process and that time. And unfortunately, it's part of human nature. But the fact that you can actually go to a point and say, well, listen, you don't have to feel ashamed of it, because lots of people go through it and we can all talk about it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. So have you found that there's been resistance to the bill, or?
No, I mean, I've been to see the minister. He's very supportive, but the problem is we don't have enough time in Parliament. We don't have an employment bill,
Yeah.
so and private members' bills, the way they work, it's very rare that they get through because there's so many MPs wanting their own private members' bill. So you have to get government time, and you have to get government support. And without an employment bill, I don't have any chance at the moment. So it's just going through the process to keep the issue alive. And because I'm very aware of how difficult it is to get private members' bills through, I've also, at the same time, launched a voluntary scheme, the fertility
workplace
ambassadors. So it's fertility ambassadors. It's fertility workplace pledge. Working in conjunction with some brilliant organisations like Fertility Network UK and Fertility Matters at Work. We launched it in Parliament. The Minister came. We had lots of MPs from across party, SNP, Labour, Lib Dem, Conservative. We've had some amazing companies sign up to it. So it's NatWest, Co-op.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Who else? Lidl and Cadent, people like that. Channel 4 News, sorry, I mean, Channel 4, brilliant. Not Channel 4 News, Channel 4, and then House of Commons as well. So, and it's basically mirroring what the private members bill does, but it's on a voluntary basis that you will have a fertility treatment. Oh, it's Aldi, not Lidl, apparently. Sorry, I'm being told. It's not Lidl, it's Aldi.
Yes.
Scrap that. Scrap the
Lidl. Lidl might, now that you've said them. Lidl might.
Yeah, well, we want Lidl. So Lidl,
We'd like Tesco to sign up. We'd like all of them, thank you very much.
And we want Tesco's, and we want...
We'll have them all, thank you.
Morrison's, Asda's.
Yes, the more the better.
M&S. Anyway, going back to, but what it is about is having a fertility policy. So you will openly talk about fertility if people want to. You'll have good and proper training for line managers, how to support somebody if they come to you saying, I'm about to go through fertility treatment. And it's also about having time off. So having a company policy that gives people time off. And you know, my message to businesses has been, you know, we know how difficult it is to recruit these days, and so retention is really important. So if you do allow a member of staff to have time off work to undergo fertility treatment, then they're more likely to remain in the job and feel a sense of loyalty to your business, and will go that extra mile because you're going the extra mile for them. So, you know, there's a really serious point about retention and recruitment involved. Well,
I mean, I left my corporate job eventually because after my 8 miscarriages and finally resulting in my stillborn son, it was 6 weeks before I was back to work. Now, my ultimate line manager and boss at the time was absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. Couldn't fault him. And he was a man. Couldn't fault him whatsoever. Very supportive. But the rest of the organization definitely wasn't. And to be honest, I even heard at one point when I'd been promoted, and I know that my corporate life was affected by that. And I know that the achievements I could have had on the basis of what I'd done and what I'd achieved in each of the roles that I'd had were stunted. And that was simply because people knew that I was trying to conceive, people knew that I was having miscarriages. At one point, when I changed jobs and went to another role, I was eventually, about 3-4 weeks later, I found out that somebody had said at a team meeting for that team that I just joined to the director, would you have taken her on if you had known about her health problems?
Gosh.
And I found that out through another woman who was sat at that meeting, who said, Farah, I just want you to know that, you know, this is being said about the fact that you've had all these miscarriages. And, you know, now I don't think it would be so easily.
No, no, God, no.
Allowable. But, you know, the fact that it even happened way back then,
yes,
absolutely appalling. And it's good that someone like you is actually taking on board and saying, no, not acceptable. We're going to do something about it, and we're going to do it officially, not just complain on an individual basis, because that gets you not very far. But actually change this for the better, for the good, rather than, you know, doing it piecemeal. So have you managed it? You said you've got quite a lot of the corporate employers engaged.
We've got quite a few, but we want more. We want more.
Yes, of course, we want more. We want more. We want actually all employers to commit to this, right?
Yeah,
what we're looking for is that all employers actually commit to the Fertility Workplace Pledge. Get involved.
I don't see why we need to have laws. Why can't we do this as a society?
Absolutely.
And just change ourselves. Why do we need legislation? We should be doing this ourselves. So that's why, you know, any of your listeners who are interested in helping, if they are in the UK in particular, because obviously it's a UK initiative, then write to your employer, ask your employer to sign up to the pledge, and you know, they can find all the information on my website, which is nikkiaiken.org.uk. They've got all the information they can print off and give to their HR departments.
Well, you know what, Nikki, I commit to when, you know, when this goes live and is being aired on the UK Health Radio Show, when Fertility Matters is actually being aired, what I commit to is I'm going to put it on LinkedIn and tag every single organisation. And I will commit,
oh, wow,
if you would like to get specific people on board, anyone that I know is in my network, or anyone that, you know, that I can tag on an organization and say, listen to this show, Nikki Aitken, I'll tag you if you're on LinkedIn, let's connect. And basically, let's try and push that as an agenda to say, right, let's tag all those people. So if you've got a list, give me the list on email and I'm happy to do that.
It's, do you know what? It's everybody. It's every employer. It doesn't matter how big or small you are. And I know I get the issues that smaller to medium sized businesses will say, well, you know, we can't afford to let people off work. But again, I go back to the retention recruitment issue, that, you know, if you don't give that person support, they are more likely then to leave. And then you've got the extra burden of having to find somebody new, the cost of that.
Yes. The training yeah, of that person, the cost of it. It's because it's short-sightedness. They're not actually seeing that the cost of losing that person on the basis, yeah, that they're not willing to offer the support, but they're not really seeing the cost of actually employing somebody new to go into that role, training, yeah, that person up, getting that person, you know, literally, you know, to the place where they need to be, where the previous person had all the experience.
Yeah. Exactly. So it makes sense to embrace it. And, you know, in reality, it's not going to be a huge percentage of your employees. But for those who it is, and, you know, it's not an insignificant sum of people generally, but from an individual business point of view, it's going to be a small number. And, you know, I think they deserve to be supported through this quite difficult time, which is both physical and emotional. And I also want to be able to, you know, ensure that employers who do embrace this allow the women who have got to inject themselves, you know, they've got to inject themselves, yes, several times,
yes,
a week,
yes,
or day at a certain time. And I've heard too many women say they do it in the staff toilets.
Yes.
And it's like, it's so gross. Yes. They need to be doing it in a much nicer environment, even,
yes,
if it's in a staff room or in a private room or a private office.
Yeah.
Give these women the support and the respect they deserve.
Well, in the least, it's the dignity that's missing.
Yes,
right?
Support, exactly,
whatever. But for goodness sake, we're in an enlightened country. We're in a place where, you know, we're not in somewhere in a third world country where you have to go to the back of the toilet to inject yourself with something that you need because you're trying to conceive. You should be able to have dignity in the way that you compose yourself when you're going through this kind of treatment.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Support, you know, understanding all of that. But the minimum should be dignity, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It is horrible. Exactly. Why should you go and do it in a toilet, in the staff toilet, right? So exactly. I agree with you entirely. So where do you see the future of the more inclusive employment rights going? What's your kind of vision of what that's going to go, where it's heading towards?
Well, I just hope that, you know, as more women take up more senior positions, they understand, you know, the particular issues that women face from a health point of view and a work point of view. And I hope we will see more understanding through employment rights, whether voluntary or legally. And that will then create better working environments for everybody, which will then lead to improved productivity. I mean, I think we have to be really honest. This is about productivity.
Yes.
Now, we've got to ensure that we improve our productivity as a country. And if we are supporting our staff, then I'm sure that will help.
Yes. And I think that, you know, our recent horrible lockdown episode has shown that people can actually be actively very successful working at home. And so if there is a period of time where you are, you know, trying to conceive and you're going through treatment, you feel the sickness and the nausea and this and that, it doesn't mean that you don't work at all. Some women are quite happy to work through that, but have the time to be able to say, well, I need to lie down right now for an hour, but later I'll feel better and I'll do work.
Yes.
Yeah. Other women who may be saying, well, no, I can't. It's so severe that I can't do it. I mean, even let's face it, Kate Middleton, took time off because she had sickness when she was pregnant. So hello. So, you know, she's not employed. She's the princess or duchess, whatever now. But the point is, she got that. So why are other women compromised? Why are they not getting the same? Regardless of what role you're doing in society or life, if that's what you're going through, then you should be supported through that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're all...
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All employees, whatever their issues, should be supported because it, you know, it just leads to improved productivity for a company.
So you've kind of said a little bit about how people can help write to their MP. Is it better to kind of channel it through you and your office? Is it just
there? No, through individual MPs. So so there's two things to do. One, if you want your employer to sign up to become a fertility workplace champion and take the workplace pledge, then they should look at my website and, you know, print off everything they need and talk to their employers. And then from a political point of view, if listeners are interested in, you know, getting involved in the campaign, then write to your own MP.
Okay.
And it's easy to find out who your MP is. You can go on the Parliament, UK Parliament website, or you can look up They Work For You, put your postcode in and it will tell you who your MP is.
Right.
And then ask them to support my campaign. And all the information is on, as I said, nikkiaikin.org.uk.
That sounds brilliant. That sounds really simple. And hopefully we'll get lots of people starting to go on their computers or phones and sign up for these things and actually push the agenda. Because obviously the more people that shout loud, the more things get done. It's where, you know, people are trying in silo to do things that we don't get much success. Nikki, what about, you know, what do you think from your point of view, governments, employees, everybody needs to do to actually progress the rights in the workplaces? And, you know, are there things that, say, your top five things that you might think of that people can be doing that are actively going to be helpful? So being open and honest about your needs and your requirements is probably one of them.
Yeah, I think it's down to employers to set the agenda and to set the policy to say, you know, if you are going through any form of treatment, whether it's cancer, whether it's mental health issues, whether it's anything to do with reproduction, so fertility treatment, you know, if you talk to your employer, then, you know, it will be a better experience for both sides, I think. And again, it's about breaking down the taboos and the secrecy behind fertility. We need more babies being born in this country. You know, our birth rate is falling, yeah, and that's not good for the country in generations to come. So we need to encourage more people to have children, and whether that's naturally or whether that's through help and support via fertility treatment. Right. And so it makes sense.
Right. So in terms of, say, for example, if an employer suddenly thinks is listening, you know, say Tesco's is listening to the show today, and I'll tag them when we put it and air it out. But say if they're listening, what's the starting point? Where should they go? Should they contact you? Should they contact, because they're kind of going,
yeah, they can go to my website. They need to go onto my website,
right?
And they look at the fertility workplace pledge information, and then they can just get on with it, and then they can let us know they're doing it, and then we will put them there. Branding up on our special page, and we will do all the social media around it.
Okay, that sounds brilliant. I mean, it all sounds really simple. The thing is, it's capturing somebody's attention and saying, come on, let's do this, let's really get on board and you know, push the agenda forward. So in terms of, finally, you know, we've sort of got like another 5 minutes or so, but what are your top things about, you know, countering the stigma, taboos surrounding women's health, in terms of, you know, how the government corridors see it, how employers might see it? What are the, I suppose, top three things that everybody, anybody, all the people who are interested in listening can actually do to counter stigmas and taboos? You know, you're going for a job, you're of reproductive age, you're really good at what you do, you've got great qualifications, you've got great experience in that role, and somebody's looking at you and saying, well, you know, we're taking her on, and then basically she's going to get pregnant, isn't she?
Well, that's against the law now.
Oh, I know, I know.
That is against the law.
We're not saying it doesn't happen, though.
No, you know? But that's against the law. So nobody should ever, you know, you cannot ask somebody if they're planning on getting pregnant, and you can't make that assumption.
I know, I say that because a lot of women choose not to get pregnant now, but, you know, people might assume that, and it might be a silent assumption. So that's a stigma and taboo. So what are the kind of things that you can do to counter that kind of thing? You know, because you can't really go back and say, well, I didn't get that job because I didn't have the right qualifications. If you're fully qualified, I know that it's happened to me way back when. I know that there's laws against it.
I think we've moved on. I think we've moved on from that now. I think we've definitely moved on. And, you know, you see employment tribunals where women are, you know, generally successful in that area. So I honestly wouldn't want to worry anybody about that now. I think I mean, you know, we've also now, the government published a few months ago the Women's Health Strategy, which is the most, you know, in-depth, extensive piece of work that any government has ever done on women's health.
Well,
I'm really proud of that.
That sounds fantastic.
And so, you can find it on gov.uk. If you go onto gov.uk, brilliant. Just type in Women's Health Strategy, and it's from cradle to birth.
No, that was amazing.
From cradle to grave, every stage of a woman's health.
Yeah.
And and you know, we have come so far in things like cancer treatments for ovarian cancer. And we've now got the vaccine that we're giving young women to prevent that. You know, we've come so far on breast cancer, and particularly on screening and on mammograms, and really pushing the importance of screening. You know, we're talking more and more about the menopause and about how women can be affected for a couple of years, maybe sometimes longer, for menopause, and about better understanding. So there's an awful lot that has been going ahead. You know, the horrendous condition that is endometriosis, and
yes,
you know, the scare stories I've heard of people, from people, the dreadful experiences they've had. And again, that's coming out now, and there's an awful lot more awareness of that, particularly amongst the medical fraternity, where for many, many years, doctors just said, it's a woman's problem, you just need to get on with it. No, you don't anymore, because it can be so excruciating, and it can hold you back. Yeah. So again, there is all this progress. Women are speaking about it. They're not afraid to speak about it, and they are getting the support they need. But I think fertility treatment is probably one of the last taboos that we do need to break down those barriers.
Right. Well, it sounds like there's been some amazing work. I think there's a lot of information that people don't know exists on the .gov website, gov.org website, and also
gov.uk.
Gov.uk website, my apologies, and on your website also, Nikki, which is amazing, because I think sometimes people kind of feel these things and they don't know where to start or begin to actually do anything about it. So you having directed people to where they can go to actually actively get involved and do something about it is absolutely brilliant. I also know that you, not so much, I don't know, in the UK, but you spoke at the Council of Europe of Protecting Rights of Women and Girls. I think it was the Istanbul Convention, protecting female rights in relation to domestic abuse. And that's something else that you're quite passionate about. So,
yeah, I'm just generally passionate about equality and ensuring women and girls protected rights. And you know, we are seeing, sadly, in the third decade of the 21st century, and I can't really believe we're still seeing the problems we do, particularly like in places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi, even where women are not treated equally. And you know, in Afghanistan, we've gone back to the dark ages. And there is, you know, so much evidence, whether it's from the UN, whether it's from the World Bank, whether it's from the World Monetary Fund, whatever, International Monetary Fund, whatever it is, there is well-known conclusions that the effect on women's rights affects a country's economic success, its societal success. And you're certainly seeing that in Afghanistan now, when girls are being banned from going to school, students are being banned, women's students being banned from universities.
Yeah.
You know, that country will go back very, very quickly. You know, NGOs have been banned from using women, employing women.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm very passionate about ensuring that women have a voice in every country, whether it's in the West. And you know, we've come a long way in the West. It's still not perfect, but we are.
Progress
so much
is always a good thing, though, Nikki. Yeah. You know, if you're in search of perfection, you may never reach that place, but every step forward is a step in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, and Afghanistan and places are going backwards.
We make the claim that, you know, we don't have everything we want as yet, but at least we've got people like you, Nikki, who are, you know, actively and constantly working on behalf of women in this country to get their rights that they deserve and have, to increase the level of dignity if they're going through IVF treatment and doing things like that. So, you know, we're very grateful for your work. I mean, I'm very grateful, and I'm no longer in that position where I'm sort of, you know, bound by a corporate environment or bound by IVF treatment or any other such thing. But, you know, there are a lot of women who'll be saying, thank you, Nikki, at this point, for actually picking up that baton and taking it and doing something actively about it that will, you know, result in change and hopefully more employers signing up to the Fertility Workplace Pledge, because that in itself will make a massive difference. Just that.
Great. Well, that's brilliant. And, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. And, you know, anybody who wants help, they should ask for help through their employer. And as I said, there's plenty of information on my website. Let's just keep fighting the fight.
Yeah. And Nikki, if there's any updates or anything you want to share with listeners on Fertility Matters on UK or Health Radio, any progress you make or anything that you think needs to be said, do get in touch with us and let us know. And we'll be happily, you know, having you on board again, talking about next steps and what, you know, the general community of women and men, even not just women, men can write to their MPs. Hello, any men out there, support your partner.
Absolutely.
LGBTQ communities can write to their MPs about these kind of things that affect everyone. So, you know, pick up your pen, pick up your computer, do it on your telephone. Help Nikki succeed in the work that she's trying to do is my voice.
Thank you very much.
Nikki, thank you. It's been such a pleasure talking to you today. It's been a pleasure to understand the amount of work and effort and, you know, time that you've put into this. And I really hope it succeeds. And of course, from Fertility Matters and Screen Me, we hope that you will basically, you know, have a lot of support from us, at least. You have our support. And as I said, when the show is aired, we'll hopefully get lots of response to it.
Great, brilliant.
All that remains. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll
thank you. Soon. Take care.
Welcome to Fertility Matters with Golnoosh and Lucas on the UK Health Radio. Here we discuss all things fertility, from cutting-edge science to medical interventions and traditional holistic medicine, from preconception to pregnancy and beyond. Let's start our fertility journey on the world number one talk health radio.